Well, good morning, church. Good to worship with you today. Hey, if you are new or newer to us, I would love the opportunity to meet you after service. My name is Fitz, and I have the privilege of serving as the lead minister here. I'll be at the stone wall, which is directly through these center doors of the worship service after service, and I would love just chance just to greet you briefly if you're newer. So, yeah, love to meet you then. Well, several years ago, my family was visiting my mother-in-law, her name's Sue, and we were up there visiting, and after dinner, we were getting ready for an after-dinner walk, as we often do, and we were gathered in front of the house, and we'd been doing a little yard work for her that day, and I just was struck. I looked at Sue, and I said, you know, I bet you have seen a lot of changes to this yard over the last 45 years that you've lived here. And it's true, they had. She told me that my father-in-law had planted every tree in their yard. Now, 45 years ago, when they moved in, their house looked like this. You could see the one lone tree, a little oak tree my father-in-law had planted. And, you know, a lot can change in 45 years because now the home looks like this. And that tree has grown considerably in 4.5 decades. Well, as we began walking down the street, my mother-in-law began sharing with me that it wasn't only the trees in their yard that my father-in-law had planted, but several of the trees in neighbors' yards. Back in the day, they would vacation to the North Woods of Wisconsin, and on the way back each summer, my father-in-law would bring small saplings of trees, most of them northern white pines, but also a handful of other varieties as well. And he would plant those trees in his yard, but he would plant them in neighbors' yards as well. And as we walked down the street, she kept pointing out tree after tree. Most homes in that neighborhood have a tree planted by my father-in-law, which is a testimony to his kindness and his generosity, to his love for other people. And most of those little saplings are no longer, actually none of those little saplings are still small little saplings. All of those trees now tower towards the sky, stretching towards the horizon, and they tower over homes and yards and driveways and over the street, providing shade. And it's just beautiful. But they're also a metaphor for the kind of life my father-in-law lived, because, you know, he loved Jesus and he loved Jesus passionately. He invited other people to follow Jesus along with him. And he had a strong, vibrant, mature faith. But his faith wasn't always that way. His faith started as a young boy, and it had some detours along the way, but eventually growing into a strong, vibrant faith. But that's how it is for all of us. You know, some of us are new in the journey with Jesus, and you might be a sapling. You might be a little pine cone yet germinated. Some of you have been walking with Jesus for a long time, but no matter where we are on the journey, all of us still have room to grow. And those trees stand as a metaphor for what it's like to have a faith rooted in the right things, deeply rooted in Jesus. You know, Apostle Paul, writing to the early church, Paul was a church planner, a missionary, a church leader in the early church, and inspired by the Holy Spirit, he wrote letters to the different congregations in different cities. And he wrote these words to the church at Colossae. And we took a look at them last week, so hopefully if you were with us then, this will sound familiar. He said, now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots, everybody say roots. Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong. Everybody say strong. Your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught and you will overflow with thankfulness. Now that's the kind of faith we want to have, a faith that is strong and deep and vibrant and lasting, that is rooted in Jesus. You know, for trees to grow tall and strong, it's important that their root systems grow deep and wide, that their root systems be vibrant, that deep roots provide stability for big trees. If you see a tree ever that's toppled over in a stiff wind, you'll see a small root ball pulled up with it. Its root system wasn't deep enough, wasn't wide enough, wasn't strong enough. But trees that have a strong root system, the roots act as an anchor for all the things that would work against that tree. They provide protection for that tree during drought or difficult weather, storms and whatnot. They provide protection for it. Those deep roots provide sustenance and nourishment for the tree. Yes, the leaves above ground tap into the sunlight, but the roots below ground tap into the nourishment and the water. They keep the tree hydrated and fed. They keep it strong and growing. And just like trees need a deep root system to grow strong, so do we. We need to plant our roots deeply into Jesus. So over the next couple months, we're going to dig into the spiritual practices that will help us be rooted in Christ. And we're going to call this series Rooted. Yeah. Now, let me get this out of the way real quick, because I'm going to say the word rooted about 100 times today. And I know we got some rooted peeps here. So let's get it all out of our system at this first one so that we can actually get through the message today. So all right, on the count of three, if you're one of our rooted peeps, right? So here we go. 3, 2, 1. You know what to do. Rooted. Woo. All right. And you can see how powerful Rooted is, right? If you've not yet been through Rooted, you just heard in the room all the encouragement you need to know, like, man, maybe I should check that out and go through it. We just launched our groups last week, but there's still room for you to jump into a Rooted group. We encourage you to do that and to get into a Rooted group if you're not already in one. But this Rooted experience that we launched here a few years ago is an experience, a 10-week experience to help us learn and live the rhythms of life that help us be rooted in Jesus, to help us get in rhythm with God. Rooted is built on 7 spiritual practices or habits or rhythms. To be rooted in Christ is to live in rhythm with Christ. If you've ever listened to a musician who is out of rhythm, you know how painful that is. You're like, oh, something's just not right. Like, you long to help them get back into rhythm. Like, find the beat, man. Find the rhythm. If you've ever watched a dancer who gets out of rhythm, it's painful to watch because you're like, oh, you feel bad for the person. Like, oh, don't do that to yourself. If you've ever experienced a heart out of rhythm, you know that's just plain painful. And what's true physically is even more true for us spiritually. That to be out of rhythm with God is a painful experience, because God designed us to live in rhythm, in sync with his very heartbeat. For us to tap into the heartbeat of God and experience life in rhythm with him. And this Rooted series is all about that. In this series, we're going to explore the 7 rhythms that help us root our lives in Jesus to stay in sync with the heartbeat of God. After all, this was the invitation of Jesus. Matthew, one of Jesus' friends, records Jesus' words to us. I love how Eugene Peterson paraphrased it in his paraphrase of the Bible, the Message. Jesus says to us, walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Doesn't that just sound like a beautiful invitation? Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. And what a beautiful invitation that is. It's an invitation to the kind of life we all want, a life that is free and light with the unforced rhythm of grace. Well, these unforced rhythms of grace are the very rhythms that we learn through the Rooted experience. 7 different rhythms. We'll take a little bit more than 7 weeks to unpack them. But the first rhythm is daily devotion, spending time each day studying God's word, devoting time to him. Studying his word, allowing it to shape us and guide us, to lead us, to direct us, knowing that it's imperative that we do so. The second of the rhythms is prayer. And spending time conversing with God, interacting with him, sharing with him what's on our heart, what's on our mind, the things bothering us, the things that we're excited about, but also taking time to pause in stillness and quiet to listen to God. The third rhythm is a rhythm of repentance, where we confess the things that are taking us away from God, where we turn away from the things that would take us away from God. This is a changing of spiritual direction. If you were with us in our last series, you know that our last series titled Way to Go, we were looking at when we're faced with decisions and we're unsure of the way to go, we lean into God, lean into his word, lean into the direction God would take us. And when we're out of rhythm with God, if we're heading in the wrong direction, what do we do? If you're ever going in the wrong direction in life, you stop, you turn around, and you go in the right direction. That's repentance, is turning the direction we're heading spiritually. Another one of the rhythms is sacrificial generosity. A giving of our time and our abilities, our sweat, our schedule, our energy, and yes, even our resources and our money to help others, to help build the church, and to help bless other people. We also do that through serving, giving our time, our energy, our schedule to help serve other people, to help serve the church, serving in the church and in the community beyond. And we share our stories. We develop the rhythm of letting people know that God is at work in our lives, what he's done in the past, what he's doing now, anticipating what he will do, and inviting them to experience God at work in their lives. And then through all of this, we celebrate. We celebrate the work that God is doing. We celebrate God, and that's just called worship when we celebrate God. And one of the things that I love most about the Rooted experience is just that, that it's an experience. That the things that we learn about, we put into rhythm. That we don't just study, we don't just learn, it's not just head knowledge, but we put it into application in our lives. We allow it to change us. We allow ourselves to get in rhythm with God, experiencing what we're talking about. Because the rhythms of Rooted, though, are not the goal. They're an ends, or they're a means to an end. They're not the end themselves. They're a way that we get and stay rooted. See, the goal of the rhythms is to be rooted in Christ. The goal of the rhythm is not just to have the rhythm, but it's to draw us closer to Jesus. In the movie Good Will Hunting, and you may have seen this came out years ago, but Will is a troubled young boy, but he's a genius. But Will often uses his incredible intelligence to knock other people down and build himself up. And most of Will's, nearly all of Will's intelligence has come through book learning, through reading and studying. Well, Will gets himself into some legal trouble and he gets assigned a counselor. And his counselor, Sean, begins to poke holes in Will's intelligence. Oh, you're an incredibly intelligent young man. But Sean tells him at one point, he says, Will, if I asked you about Michelangelo, you'd probably tell me all about him. You've read all about him, I'm sure. His life's work, political aspirations, him and the Pope, sexual orientations, the whole works, right? But I'll bet you can't tell me what it smells like in the Sistine Chapel. You've never actually stood there, looked up at that beautiful ceiling. You've never seen it. Sean's point? There's only so much you can learn from a book. That reading is not all there is. Reading in a book is not a replacement for experiencing it in our lives. So let me get really pointed with this for those of us who follow Jesus. We need to allow the Bible to shape us. It's important to be students of the Bible. We believe it's God's word. And it should provide direction for our lives. We should align ourselves to it. And it's important that we know it. It's vital that we allow it to guide us and give us direction in our lives. But the point of life, the point of faith in Jesus, is not just to be good students who know about God, who've read his best-selling book and know all about his book and what's in it. That the point of all of it is that we actually experience life with God, life in rhythm with him. That we walk in step with Jesus, experience relationship with Jesus, to allow him to teach us the unforced rhythms of grace as we live in step with God, allowing him to become more than just an abstract thought from a book, but actually have a personal relationship. You know, knowing what the Bible says about grace is great, but it comes up empty if we never allow the grace of God to transform our lives. Knowing what the Bible says about forgiveness is imperative for us. But it comes up empty if we never actually experience God's forgiveness for us and allow that to transform us so that we are people who then offer forgiveness to others, even those who we don't believe deserve forgiveness. We can know everything the Bible says about prayer, and that's good. But it becomes useless if we never actually converse with God. See, it's not just knowing about. It's about living it out. That the Bible is not a static book. It moves us to action. It moves us to experience the work of God in the world around us and in our own lives. And it's our foundation. Like the Bible is foundational for us. To study the Bible is an essential rhythm of life with God. But daily devotion is a means to an end. To spend time, to devote time every day to studying God's word and to praying is not so that we can know a lot about the Bible or know a lot about God. It's so that we can get time with God to experience transformation from him. See, experience matters. That's what I love about the rooted journey, is it provides us experience along the way. For the last couple of years, I've been teaching my son how to drive, and he's done a pretty good job. And it began with me giving him stuff to read. He had to study and read, had to watch videos, had to learn, had to sit in the passenger seat and observe other drivers, had to learn from us. And eventually we had to flip seats, and he had to get behind the wheel and have me sit in the passenger seat and keep on that learning and keep reading, keep studying, you know, watch videos and learn how to do all the things and how to parallel park. That one sometimes takes a little bit longer, but he got there. And now he's passed the driver's exam. He has his driver's license. He's safe to drive. You're safe on the road. Don't worry. He's good. He's pretty cautious most of the time. But wouldn't it be a shame if my son learned all about driving, if he learned all about the rules of the road, if he knew all the videos, even if he learned everything about the vehicle that he would drive, if he learned all the intricacies, he could tell you all about it, the mechanics of it and everything else, and he learned all about it, and he could tell you all about it, he could coach you on it, he could give you instructions, but if he never actually sat in the driver's seat and gripped the wheel with his foot on the gas, wouldn't that all just be a waste? See, the point of all that learning is to have the experience, to get behind the wheel. That's how it is with our faith as well. Experience matters. We know this. We know that experience matters. This past summer, I took my family on a vacation to the Pacific Northwest. Our first stop on the first morning was the Vista House Overlook. Beautiful. I can tell you everything about it. I can give you the history of the Vista House. I can give you the history of that pond. I can tell you about the Columbia River and the gorge there and cut through the mountains, and I could tell you about the architectural style and the updates and the upgrades. I could tell you what it's like to stand on that beautiful stone wall railing and look out in the morning as the sun bursts through, burning the mist off of the valley, and watch the sunlight dance along the rippling waves. I could tell you that when the sailboats and the windsurfers are down in the water, that it looks like a picture out of a kid's picture book when I was a kid. I could tell you about the breeze on your skin and the million different colors that burst forth in the valleys below. I could tell you the smell of faint pine in the air and the sound of the waterfalls in the distance. I could tell you what it looks like to stand there and to feel it and experience. I could tell you even about the experience for my kids when we got there. I think we got a picture of it. Yeah. Of watching my kids just be struck with awe because they'd never stood in a spot like that before. They'd heard me talk about it, but now they got to be there and to watch this place come alive for them, and the eagerness and the joy and the millions of pictures they began taking in that first morning on our vacation. I can tell you about the smile on my wife's face as she just stood there at peace in the beauty and the awe of God's creation. I can tell you how my eyes became wet with tears as I was so joy-filled to experience, to introduce my kids to something that I had experienced so many years before because my parents had introduced me to it. I can tell you that some of those tears were tinged with sadness because one of my kids was not able to join us because my parents are no longer with us. How much I wanted to call them and send them pictures and videos, and it just wouldn't happen. But you know, of everything I could tell them, of everything I could tell you about it, of everything I could tell you to experience that. Man, no matter how vividly I paint the picture of all that I could say, nothing that I could say can actually replace you being there to experience it. No matter how vividly I paint the picture with words or even with pictures on a screen, it just won't suffice for standing there yourself, for being in that place of beauty and feeling the breeze and hearing the sounds and the smelling it. Seeing it for yourself. Experience matters. We know this. We know that experience matters. This is why when we taste something delicious, we don't just describe it to our friends. We tell them, you got to try it. Like I could describe my wife's chocolate chip cookies in mouthwatering detail, but it won't do. I mean, you got to eat one of those things. Yeah. It's like when you see a movie that actually moves you. You don't just tell your friends about the plot line and the resolution. You're like, no, you got to see. You got to experience it. Sometimes, like, man, don't wait for it to show up on your TV or the stream at home. Like, you got to go experience it in the theater, the big screen, the big sound. Like, you need to be immersed in it. Why? Because experience matters. We know this. There's something about being there, about experiencing it, It's why we know that as good as it is that we can offer online church, and we're glad for those of you joining us online right now. And as beautiful as it is that we have that opportunity when you're traveling or when you're sick or when you're shut in or snowed in or for whatever reason. But we all know that online doesn't quite capture the experience of this room, of getting shoulder to shoulder, of what God does when we gather together. There's a reason that the scriptures implore us to gather with one another, not just to observe from a distance, because there's something that happens in that experience. Experience matters. It matters. And that's why during this series, we're going to invite you to experience the things we teach about. We're going to invite you to begin putting the rhythms into practice, to live in rhythm with Jesus, to begin rooting your life into Jesus, to experience life in rhythm with God. And so we have a handful of things outside of Sunday morning that we invite you to be part of. The first of those is coming up in just a couple weeks. It's our prayer experience on February 11th at 6:30 p.m. right here. It's a Tuesday night. I encourage you to get out your phone right now and plug that into your phone. Listen, you're not going to offend me if you pull out your calendar and you start putting that in. In fact, you might offend me if you don't. Because we don't just talk about these things and offer these things. It's like, oh, that's a good idea. Yes, somebody should do that. And I'm like, this is what we should do. The church coming together and praying together as a church, experiencing this together as a church, praying together. So that's coming up in a few weeks. Another one that's not actually tied directly to our rooted experience, but something we're encouraging all of us to be part of. It's called Gather 25, happening Friday, February 28th. From 7 to 9 p.m. Now, the Gather 25 experience actually lasts longer than that. It's a 25-hour experience, a gathering of the global church, not just our church coming together, but we're going to invite other churches to partner with us here in this space, in this building. A couple hours here of worship and celebration, of confession, of singing and praising God together. Now, this event actually goes on, like I say, for an entire day. There will be stories from the underground church, and there will be teaching and worship from church leaders on all seven continents throughout the gathering. The global church coming together as we should, looking beyond the things that differentiate us and keep us apart, and looking to the one who brings us together, Jesus. So we encourage you, be part of this. You're going to want to. This is a can't-miss kind of event. This is a once in a life, release the first time in your life kind of thing to do this. We encourage you to be part of that, to put these events on your calendar and make them immovable. Schedule everything else around them. Then in March, we'll have a handful of serving opportunities that we'll invite you to be part of. Our rooted groups will go out, serve together. Our existing small groups will serve together. If you're not part of a group, I encourage you to get into a group. But if you're not able to be in a group this season, or you're not able to serve at the time your group serves, we're going to have a number of serving opportunities throughout the month of March for you to participate in. We're going to come together as a church to serve the community around us, because we believe that's an important part of our faith. And I know what many of you are thinking, because we've already had hundreds of you go through the rooted experience. You've already done rooted. And some of you think, yeah, I've been there, done that. That's good. And we heard you, woohoo, earlier, right? So let me just encourage you with this. If you've been through rooted, don't look at this as something, been there, done that. Look at this as an opportunity to refresh what you've already done. Because we know it's wise to regularly revisit the things we've previously experienced. Years ago, I was a high school social studies teacher, and I taught advanced placement U.S. history. AP U.S. history is one of the most difficult of the AP classes because it covers just a massive amount of information. Students, 11th graders, juniors in high school take this AP class, and at the end of the year, if they pass the AP placement test, they can earn college credit for it. Well, there's so much information in that class, and we all know that for a kid who's in 11th grade, there's a lot that happens from August to May in the life of a high school junior. And so I knew for me as a teacher, it was imperative that I keep the material fresh in front of them. So the things we learned in August, we talked about September, October, November, December, January, February, March, April, all the way up into May. Things we learned about in September, we kept talking about, we kept revisiting these things, tying these things together. When we got to the to the Vietnam War. We would tie those things to the Revolutionary War, where we'd been months before, and we'd look at similarities between these things, and we talk about it, we keep it alive. And every year, after my students would take the exam, and they would all do well on it, they would come in and say, hey, Mr. Fitz, which, by the way, there's only a handful of people who ever put a Mr. in front of the Fitz. It's kind of weird. I know if I hear Mr. Fitz, it's somebody from long ago. And they would say, Mr. Fitz, thanks so much for reviewing, for keeping those things fresh, because I knew it. All those questions that were from earlier in the year, I knew, because we kept learning. We kept them fresh. Good. That was the point. You know, for those of us who follow Jesus, too often we learn something for just a season. But then we seldom review where we've been. We move on to the next topic, the next sermon series, the next spiritual habit, the next Bible study, the next best-selling book, the next online sermon series from your favorite preacher other than me. We learn those things. We'll study, and then we stick it on a shelf, and too often we forget about it. You know, life has a way of getting busy on us. And we can do that in the church as bad as anybody. So many things, we just keep going to the next. That's why you'll hear me reference things where we've been before from time to time. Like, as we begin a new series, we'll remind ourselves where we've been in the last one. When we talked about which way to go, we learned that the decisions we make that determine the direction we head, and the direction we head determines the destination where we'll end up. And so I'm going to encourage you, make decisions today to put you in a direction that you'll be living rooted with Jesus. So when you get to your final destination, you'll hear him say, way to go. But those decisions begin today. You know, it's so easy to fall out of rhythm. There's so much that can disrupt the rhythms of life. And, you know, it takes a long time to build a habit. It takes about 3 days to break one. That's why at the beginning of the year, the workout spaces are filled for the first few weeks. But then you get to that first three-day weekend, you get to Martin Luther King Jr. holiday, and people take a Monday off, and they break all the habit they just started. And then, you know, if you are an ongoing gym rat, you kind of like that, because it just got a lot thinner in that room, and nobody shows up anymore, and you're like, oh, good, the weights are available for me now, right? I mean, that's how it is. It takes a long time to build a habit, not much time to break one, unless it's a bad habit. Why is it that way? Like, why is it that eating chocolate chip cookies is so hard to break, but running is so easy to get out of rhythm on? I don't know why that is, but that's how it is. But Paul knew that it's easy to get out of rhythm in our spiritual lives. You know, he wrote to the church at Colossae. He said, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must what? Say it with me. Continue to follow him. Continue. It said, let your roots, everybody say roots. Let your roots grow down into him, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong. Everybody say strong. Your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. But then he went on to say this. Don't let anyone capture you. Don't let them capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. Can I paraphrase that for you? Don't let anyone derail you. Don't let anyone put you on a detour. Don't get out of rhythm. Don't let the things of life or the things that look like a better way to go for the moment, don't let those things get you out of rhythm. You know, COVID was the great rhythm disruptor for pretty much every area of life a few years ago. But it blew me away that 2, 3, 4 years after COVID, I was still hearing people tell me, they'd see me out in public, oh, hey, pastor, I haven't been back to church since COVID, kind of got us out of rhythm, but we'll see you soon. See me soon. It's been 4 years, man. Now, that's no shame on you. If that's one of you, maybe you're here today and you were with us a while back and it's taken you a few years to get back to us. I'm glad you're back with us. No matter how long it took you, I'm glad you're here. But it's just to say how easy it is to get out of rhythm. And once we're out of rhythm, it's easy to stay out of rhythm. So work to get back into rhythm. That's what I love about Rooted. Rooted is a way for us to check the rhythm of our hearts, to ensure that our roots are going down deep into Jesus, that we're staying in rhythm with God. You know, the hope of our church leaders is that all of us would have roots that grow down deep into Jesus, that we would build our lives on Jesus, that we would be rooted and established in him, in his love, that we will continue to follow Jesus for years and decades to come, that we will learn the unforced rhythms of grace, that our lives would look like those towering oaks in the front yard of my mother-in-law's house that my father-in-law planted so long ago. Now, some of you, like I said earlier, maybe you're the sapling and you've got a long stretch to go. Begin making decisions today that help you live a rooted life, that allow you to grow strong and vibrant and tall. Maybe you're the pine cone of the northern pine. You've yet to germinate in the ground, but you're waiting on something. You know, we got a baptism day next week. Maybe that's the day for you to plant your roots and go down deep into Jesus. And maybe you've been walking with Jesus for decades. Maybe you're one of those 20-foot tall trees. Maybe you're one of those 40-foot tall trees. Maybe you're a towering tree. But guess what? As long as you've got air in your lungs, you still need to live rooted and stay connected to Jesus and live in rhythm. Don't get out of rhythm. So I want to encourage you during this season, go all in. Jump into a rooted group. We still have room for you in those groups. If you've been in a group, you've done rooted, but you're in an ongoing small group, use this as a rooted refresh and dig back into those rhythms to make sure you're still living in rhythm. Commit to joining us every Sunday here for the next 10 weeks of this series. Join us. And if you got to travel, if you got to be gone, watch us online. Jump in with us as you're gone. But if you're around, commit to being here with us each Sunday. Make it a priority. Plant your roots deep. Make it a priority to jump in on those other experiences, the prayer experience, gather, the serve experience. Put those on your calendar and plan everything else around them. Allow those things to be immovable, to be the priorities. Plant your roots deep. Experience all that God has for you in this season. Because if you do, it might just change your life. In fact, God might just use you to change the world around you. I mean, can I dream with you for a moment? Imagine how powerful this church would be as a presence in our community. If every single one of us allowed ourselves to devote time to God daily, to study his word, and we became people of prayer. That prayer and God's word shaped our lives together. If repentance became a regular rhythm in the life of all of us, that we were breaking the strongholds that keep us from experiencing all God has for us, the besetting sins in our life, if we were confessing those and confessing our need for a Savior and experiencing the freedom that comes from confession, if we were experiencing this in an ongoing way, if our sacrificial generosity and our serving so impacted the community around us, that we live so sacrificially that the world around us is like, man, that's crazy, but I got to see what they're all about. If we serve the community so well that we're not just a big church on a hill in our community, but we're the best thing for this community because of what we do for our neighbors and how we love them and how we sacrifice ourselves for them. If we all became so comfortable and confident in sharing our stories, and we shared our story regularly of the work God has done in our life, the work God is doing in our life, the work we desire to see God do in our life, and we invite other people to experience God at work in their lives. If we became a church that saw baptisms on the regular, like so much more because we're surrendering to Jesus and we're baptizing one another in his name because we're inviting our friends to follow Jesus alongside us. And if we worship God through all of it, this church was known for the way they worship and celebrate God, not just when we get together on a Sunday, but all the time. That we are people who just celebrate what God is doing in this world around us. I think that kind of church is a church that is not only on mission, but it's on fire. And I think that's what God has for us, church. My prayer for you, my prayer for us, my prayer for our church is the prayer that Paul prayed for the church in Ephesus back when the church was just getting started. Paul did a little dreaming with them, and then he said this, said, when I think of all this, I fall on my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. And I pray that this will be our prayer together as a church. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you keep trusting in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And you may have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide and how long and how high and how deep his love is for us. May you experience the love of Christ. Not just know about it, but experience it in your life, though it is too great to fully understand. And then you'll be made complete with all the fullness of life and the power that comes from God. Now all glory to God alone, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we could ever ask or think or dream or imagine. Glory to him alone in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, today and tomorrow and forever and ever and ever. And ever. Amen. Oh God, this is our prayer, that we would be a people, that we would be a church that is rooted and established in you, with roots that grow down deep, and that we would grow up strong in you. Our lives wrapped up in the experience of you, our King Jesus. This is our prayer. Amen.